You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, ACT Party MP Laura McClure has launched a members' bill proposing the de-establishment of the Broadcasting Standards Authority, or the BSA. This members' bill follows a complaint laid to the BSA regarding Sean Plunkett's online media network, The Platform. Plunkett says the content of his show does not meet the requirements of the Broadcasting Act and that the BSA had woefully and egregiously overstepped its bounds. The BSA, however, says Plunkett's show clearly meets the requirements of the Act. I spoke to Peter Thompson, an Associate Media and Communications Professor at the Victoria University of Wellington and a board member of the Better Public Media Trust, about this members' bill and what the bill is proposing. What is the BSA?
Well, the Broadcasting Standards Authority is a quasi-judicial body that's responsible for implementing the broadcasting standards under the Broadcasting Act 1989. Now, there are a range of different standards there. That includes dealing with offensive and disturbing content, children's interests, promotion of illegal antisocial behaviour, discrimination or degradation, balance, accuracy, privacy and fairness. And it applies those standards through a complaints mechanism to both radio and television and online content that has also been broadcast.
We'll touch on the online side of, I guess, what the BSA regulates in a second. And you kind of touched on this next point a little bit, but what is the origin of the BSA? How and why did it start up in the first place?
If you go back a long, long way back in time, I mean, back to the 70s, then 80s, there was a broadcasting tribunal. And when there was the overhaul of the broadcasting sector where both BCNZ, which was the sort of state monopoly umbrella company, split up into two, both of which became commercial enterprises, state-owned enterprises, and that was RNZ and TVNZ. And that was the time when commercial competition was opened up, both particularly in television, but also radio, and to make sure that broadcasters took account of their potential power and didn't abuse it, they created a regulatory body, and that regulatory body was the Broadcasting Standards Authority. And as I say, it's tasked with developing codes and standards. It evolves those in consultation with both industry and the public, and it does have some judicial powers. It can fine you up to $5,000, which might have sounded a lot back in 1989, but certainly doesn't sound very much today. But it does have a couple of other powers which it has used only in very rare and egregious situations, and that's where it can order someone to cease broadcast for 24 hours or to stop carrying advertising for up to 24 hours. And it's very, very careful about using that. It doesn't usually go that far. For the most part, its regulation simply means that it issues rulings, and it can basically, you know, demand that the media, you know, put a notice on air that they made a mistake and that they've had to correct it or apologise.
A large part of why this members' bill now exists stems from a complaint regarding Sean Plunkett's online media network, The Platform. Does the BSA have any authority in this sort of digital space?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, because if you go and read the Broadcasting Act, it's actually a bit fuzzy about this. There's a view out there, particularly on the political right, that the BSA is some sort of Orwellian bureaucracy akin to the Stasi, which, I'm sorry, is just patent nonsense. But there is an argument that its function in trying to address contemporary digital media services using an act that was still dated back to 1989 is always going to be rather difficult. So it was one argument that says, well, the letter of the law doesn't specifically mention online media, and therefore it can't do it. On the other hand, because it doesn't mention online media, you might argue that broadcasting-like services that do function online are therefore subject to the standards, and that's the principle of treating similar kinds of media and similar kinds of content with the same principles and regulatory mechanisms. So, you know, it's an interesting case. I actually think the law is perfectly ambiguous on this, but certainly it's upset a number of online platforms, not only Sean Plunkett, I imagine, because some media actors operate online precisely because they thought they were immune to any kind of regulation, and they can say whatever the heck they like.
Does the BSA regulate? I mean, we've seen a push with places like RNZ and The Herald to digitise their content to make it more easily accessible to a lot more people because, you know, we're seeing a large push towards the digital space. Does the BSA regulate like those sort of companies? What differentiates the platform here?
There are gaps in the legislation. At the moment, print media and online news is covered primarily by the New Zealand Media Council. Now, that was the Press Council, and there was also the Online Media Standards Authority. They're both industry bodies. They don't have any statutory powers, and you basically agree to be subject to their jurisdiction, primarily as a motif of your professional media practices and your willingness to be held accountable to standards. But at the moment, there's no regulator specific to online media. Now, if I'm TVNZ or if I'm News Talk ZB and I broadcast something on air, you know, that's automatically subject to the BSA. If I put something online and I stream it, then that would normally fall under the jurisdiction of the New Zealand Media Council. But if it's also broadcast, then the BSA is allowed to take complaints about it. So you can see it's a bit patchworky. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why earlier this year the government decided that it wanted to put out a proposal to modernise the media regulatory frameworks. And one of the conversations that has ensued from that is whether or not we ought to extend the BSA's jurisdiction more generically to cover online media. Now, from my point of view, that makes perfect sense because it means that similar kinds of content would be subject to similar kinds of regulatory principles and potentially consequences. So if I'm doing something that looks like radio or television, smells like radio and television, and captures a big audience like radio and television, then, you know, the principle is, well, I should take some responsibility for making sure that the kinds of content I'm putting out adhere to standards like basic accuracy, fairness, you know, balance principles. But there are some actors that don't want that. And I think you have to ask a very pertinent question as to why they don't think that those sorts of rules apply to them.
McClure, in announcing this members' bill, says there are already laws against defamation and obscenity. Are these laws enough to counter what the BSA was established for in the first place?
No.
Fair enough.
It's just clearly not the case at all. Really, I mean, this bill is an ideological knee-jerk reaction, pandering to a particular constituency on the political right. Hasn't been thought through at all. The idea that you would completely get rid of the media regulator that's there to uphold core standards, you know, in a digital environment where we're beset with a proliferation of disinformation and all kinds of problematic content, is just grossly irresponsible. I mean, for me, you've got to ask yourself why the alt-right and libertarians like ACT are so keen to get rid of media regulations. I mean, the only thing that this bill would do is enable private media corporations to operate with impunity in pumping out propaganda and disinformation. And the cost of that would be a further erosion of our democracy. I mean, how anyone could think this was a sensible idea if they actually believe in democratic principles is absolutely beyond me. It's preposterous.
ACT is obviously at the forefront of this members' bill, but have we seen any indication whatsoever from other parties or even MPs in Parliament that they are feeling a similar way about the BSA?
I'm pretty sure that the Labour Party wouldn't want to abolish the BSA, but I think where the parties might agree is that we need media reform, and where I would agree with ACT is that the current 1989 broadcast legislation is way out of date and not fit for purpose. The BSA agrees with that. So, you know, I think the idea that we need reform is not controversial, and it was the current government that actually put forward the proposal to modernise media regulation and potentially expand the remit of the BSA or some other kind of regulatory framework to take account of the fact that there are so many new forms of media that fall outside the current legislation. So I don't think any other party would go as far as ACT and simply say, well, okay, we'll leave it to the market. Consumers can decide. If you don't like it, don't watch it. We don't need any regulation. I think that's a charter for the irresponsible and the ideological, you know, media moguls to do whatever the heck they like with impunity. I think it's absolutely irresponsible and it's utterly dangerous to democracy. Now, does that mean the BSA was right to hear a complaint about the platform? I don't know. I think the law is ambiguous on that point. And I also think that maybe they were given a nudge to go and try and see what would happen if they heard a complaint about an online platform. or the platform in this case. So I think that remains to be seen. But is there a need to overhaul the current regulatory framework? Yes, and people have been saying that for a couple of decades now. I mean, there were moves in 2008 to implement a review of regulation for digital media and broadcasting. There was the convergence review in 2015 under National. So multiple governments have introduced plans to reform the regulatory model. The problem is that by the time they've decided what they want to do, a new government comes in and rips up the blueprint. And that's why we're here where we are now.
If this bill was to, hypothetically, if this bill was to be pulled from the biscuit tin and passed, what would this mean for regulation in this space? Would there be any regulation at all?
There's regulation of a form. There's the Classification Office that deals primarily with film, video games, other forms of content. They can put labels on content. They can also declare certain sorts of content objectionable. So, for example, after the Christchurch terror attacks, the video and manifesto were deemed objectionable by the chief censor. So they regulate content, and they also play a role in putting labels, or they have a labels regime, I should say, that the subscription providers operate under. So when you go online to Netflix or Disney Plus or Neon, then they should carry a label about the nature of their content, and it's the Classification Office that oversees that. But they don't do broadcasting. News media currently falls under the New Zealand Media Council. They're pretty professional, but they don't have any legal powers. And if I was running a newspaper and I just decided that I didn't want to uphold the basic principles of accuracy or fairness or balance, then all they could do is censure me, and there's really nothing they could do to force me to comply unless I'd grossly defame someone. So there are places where the defamation laws and privacy laws probably would play a role, but they're nowhere near adequate, for dealing with these core principles under which the media are able to function in a positive way and uphold democracy and an informed citizenship. The idea that you would simply abandon these is an ideological knee-jerk reaction, cannot come from a place that's respectful of the democratic process. In fact, it's a direct threat to it.
You've touched on this throughout the interview, but how should the regulatory framework be reformed instead of what Laura McClure is proposing here?
I think we need another interview to get into the details of that. There's a number of different models, but I mean, model number one is you create a generic regulator, which might be the BSA or it might be another entity, and you give it certain powers and give it certain codes and principles to uphold, such as accuracy and balance and fairness and privacy and non-denigration. And that would apply to any sort of content, that, particularly under broadcasting or mass media types of process. I don't think it would necessarily apply to individual comments on Twitter or X or Facebook. There's some on the right that are saying, oh, this is a power grab, they're trying to regulate everything we say online. That's completely untrue and unfounded. But the idea there would be that you take the current model and you apply it across all platforms on the principle that if you're reaching a certain size of audience and you're providing a certain type of content, then you incur a certain level of social responsibility to make sure that your content is not actually harmful. And by harmful, I'm not getting into an argument about what hate speech is. I'm talking about harmful in the sense of that you're misinforming the public in some sort of significant way, giving them disinformation that could lead them to make decisions that aren't in their own interests. So the idea that should apply across the board, I don't think should be very controversial. You can talk about what level of statutory framework you want. I think we do need a statutory framework, not only an industry framework. But there are some industry bodies like the New Zealand Media Council that operate pretty robustly. They could be the frontline complaints body, and then you could have a statutory regulator behind that oversees those complaints body. So there are different ways of creating the regulatory architecture for media regulation in the digital era. But I think the very thing that we don't want in an era of disinformation, propaganda, hate speech and so forth is the idea that, we just leave it to the market and people can make up their own minds. I just find that grossly irresponsible and malinformed.
That was the Victoria University of Wellington's Peter Thompson on ACT MP Laura McClure's Members Bill proposing the de-establishment of the Broadcasting Standards Authority.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.